Good morning. I'm so excited to be here again this morning. It means that it went well the last time. I want to take this opportunity to again say thank you to Pastor Louis and the executive team for the opportunity to come and share God's word with you. I also would like to highlight the fact that I don't know how you found going through the book of Proverbs been. For me, it's been so exciting learning the book and learning what the Lord is saying, journeying through the wisdom, understanding how the wisdom applies in our lives. And so it's been exciting for me to just come and share with you from the book of Proverbs again. Before I begin, I would like to share a little bit of a story that I had this week. I was driving from home to church, and one of the things that I saw was headlines on one of the lampposts. And the headline read like this: turmoil is the new normal. Turmoil is the new normal. And this was actually a statement pertaining to our country. And I thought to myself, turmoil, what does that word mean? And so I went out and I looked out for the words. And this is what it says: turmoil is a state of great disturbance, confusion, uncertainty. And so this person was actually saying that there's uncertainty in our country, there's confusion, there's disturbance in our country. But I actually learned that turmoil is what brings fear in our hearts. We start to wonder, are the things going well? Is the things that are in the country going well? And there starts to be this panic that comes in. And so I realized that actually, in real life, we all fear something. Everybody fears something. We fear being victims of crime. We fear floods. We fear droughts. We fear being ill by dreaded diseases. We fear losing a loved one. There's many things that we fear. But interesting enough, God's word says that we are to fear the Lord. What does this mean? So it means that there's two different types of fear. One fear is a negative fear. This is the one that when we hear or when we have in our hearts, is the fear that grabs our hearts because we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be harmed. And so it's important that we understand what is the fear of the Lord and what does the fear of the Lord mean. And so I want us to go through the book of Proverbs chapter 2, and it's a chapter, the whole chapter. So I would like to please prepare you. We're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs 2. Actually, we're going to do the whole chapter. Don't worry. We're going to be here on time. Okay. It's not a Bible session or anything like that, but it's to just highlight the things that it says in the book of Proverbs, especially chapter 2. Please understand something. Fear of the Lord is different from the negative fear I just spoke about. Fear of the Lord is about living in awe, respect, and honor towards the Lord. It's about putting God first in our lives. That's what fear of the Lord is about. It's about putting God first in our lives. I would like to share with you a little bit about the fear of the Lord and maybe where it comes from. And when the Bible speaks about the fear of God, what does it mean? How does it get manifested in our lives? I'm going to share with you the story of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. It starts off by saying from verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated high and lifted up. And he was on the throne, and on above his throne, there were seraphim, the angels. And the angels were saying to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Now, we may have heard that before, and we always read it, and we understand that was the vision that was given to Isaiah in the temple. But actually, if you were with Isaiah there, you would understand why Isaiah went on the way that he did. In the year that King Uzziah died, what happened was, King Uzziah was a good king. He was a king that the Bible says that he was the guy that God was pleased with. He was happy that he was king and because he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And so when he died, Isaiah the prophet, he went into the temple because he was thinking, God, what are we going to do? We just lost a good king. and there's turmoil in the country. Who's going to take over from him? And he was just thinking, Lord, I don't know what to do. And interesting enough that God shows him a vision of himself on the throne, as if God was saying to Isaiah, listen, man, I'm still in charge. I've got this thing. I know what I'm talking about. I'm God. Nothing has changed. The fact that King Uzziah has passed away doesn't change anything. I'm still God. No matter what has changed in your life, no matter the circumstances you are in, I want to tell you this morning, God is in charge. In your life, God is not surprised by anything. In other words, in today's words, he's got this. He's got this. And so the Bible is interesting that it shows also that the angels were above the throne and the angels were saying to one another, before they even said anything to each other, interesting that the angels had six wings. With two, they closed their faces. With two, they closed their feet. And with two, they flew. And they were saying to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Interesting enough, why are the angels closing their faces? Why are they closing their feet? Have you ever wondered? God's radiance, he radiates so much light and power and everything that the angels cannot take it. They close their eyes. They close their faces. They close their feet. They feel like they can't come even near him. They say, God, and they say these words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In the Hebrew, if you study a little bit of the Hebrew in the background, you would know that normally they would express and say, holy, holy, and that's it. You know, that's the best form of expression. But these angels, and it's actually recorded for us, they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's as if they were trying to say, we cannot even explain how holy you are. And we think holy, they're singing a song and say, holy, holy. They're not singing a song. They are actually saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. It continues to say that the doorposts, you must know the doorposts of the temple, they're not small doors like in our houses. These are big doorposts. The Bible says that they shook. And the threshold, which is the foundation of the temple, it shook. It was like thunder. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. He's worthy to be honored. He's worthy to be feared. The Bible continues in verse 5. It says that Isaiah, when he heard this loud noise like a thunder, when there was shaking, Isaiah probably went down and he said, woe to me, for I am undone. Why is he saying that? He says, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not worthy to even say these words like these angels are saying. I'm not worthy to say what the angel, like, I'm not worthy to say, God, you are holy. Most of the time when we hear the verse about Isaiah saying, I'm a man of unclean lips, I live among people of unclean lips, we think that it's because he was swearing or he was saying the wrong things. No, 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 that's not what he was saying. Isaiah was saying, I'm not even worthy to say, God, you are holy. You are so big, I cannot come close. I cannot even say anything. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips. We are not worthy. And so when the Bible speaks about the fear of God, he is high, lifted up. God is in charge. Nothing is a surprise. In our country, personally, it doesn't matter. He is in charge and he is holy. I would like for us to please open in the book of Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to cut it up into three different parts. The first part, this speaks about our attitude. The second part speaks about actions. And the third part speaks of our rewards. Three things about how to live in the fear of the Lord. Please say amen if you are there.
Amen.
Cool. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and this is what it says. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. Interesting enough, if you really go through this study, it will show you that from verse 1 to 5, this father, this leader, this person that was talking to his son or his child, he says to him, listen to what he says. We are called to listen to what God says. But how do we know what is God saying? We know what God is saying from his word. We are encouraged to read God's word. We are encouraged to know how to interact with God. What does God want us to do? Can you fulfill an instruction of something you don't know about? No, you can't. I think about it as if I had a car, and which I do, and I would take it from here to drive, let's say, to Main Lane. And I decide that my name is Letsolo Pelesi. So what's going to happen is I'm not going to keep left. I'm going to keep right. I'm going to keep right because I'm Letsolo Pelesi. I don't care what the laws of the land are saying. I'm going to do this thing. So I climb into my car, I start driving. Please tell me, am I going to make it to Main Lane? I'm not going to make it. Why? Because I'm not keeping to the laws of the country around driving. And so God, in his word, he gives us his ways. He gives us the way we are supposed to live. And so this father, if we may put it like that, he's saying to his son or his child, listen to what I say. We listen to what God says in his word. We connect with God. We spend time in his word. It continues to say that treasure his commands. We are not only to hear what he says, we are to treasure his commands. We are to treasure his commands. It continues on to say that search and seek him. Seek who? Seek the Lord. It's the attitude of our hearts. The attitude of our hearts to what? To listen. In James 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's an attitude of the heart. We are to draw near to God. God is already available for us. He wants us to draw near to him. How do we draw near to God? By knowing what his word says, by listening to what he says, by treasuring his commands in our hearts, by seeking him, looking out for him. How do we find him? He says that in the word, as we seek him, he will reward us. When we know what God is saying, we are able to respond to him. When we know what God is saying, we are able to say, God, I need your direction. I need you to hear what you have to say about this thing. And we hear his voice. We are able to listen to him. Can I be honest with you? Listening, treasuring, and seeking God can only be tested by how we live with others around us. What's the point of listening to God, treasuring his commands, and I claim that I seek God, but I'm not kind to my neighbor? But I don't show love to my fellow brother, in spite of his race or background, doesn't matter. There's something of God that gets expressed in a relationship with others. I cannot just say that I love God, I serve God, I know what God's word says, but I cannot live it out. What does the Bible say? We are the light and the salt of the earth. And so, living in the fear of God, it's about expressing that life around us. Expressing it to others. When one confesses, they confess their sin to God, and that confession it's good because they acknowledge that they've missed something. But the repentance says that I won't do it again. I'm turning around and I'm going somewhere. The fear of the Lord is not just you towards God. It's about the fact that it's you with God. It runs parallel with how we live with others, how we put value in others. Are we kind towards others? Is God's word doing so much in our life that we are able to reflect it? When others see us, they see the Lord in us. Very important. In Psalm 25, verse 14, you can just write it down on the side. It says, the Lord confines in those who fear him. The Lord confines in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. It means that we cannot be in a place where we say we fear the Lord, but yet we don't know what God is saying. You won't know what God is saying because you're not in his word. You don't know what his word says. And so I would like to encourage you, when there's a book that is being said about in the church and we saying, please come, let's read together, let's engage. Please engage in the word of God. Know what he says, because he's got the best for you, and that is from his word. I would like for us to continue as we've spoken about our attitude, which is to listen to what the Lord says, to treasure his commands, and to search and seek him. I want us to also look on our second point, which is our actions. Our actions. What is our actions towards the Lord? How do we live towards God? Our actions is like reverence of who God is. There needs to be reverence towards who God is. Interesting enough, with Isaiah, when he was all down and everything, that God, the seraphim, one of the seraphim came down and put a coal on his mouth to say, now you can do it. There was a reverence coming from Isaiah. He was responding to what he was seeing in the temple, in his vision. And so in Proverbs 6-9, I would like for us to please look together in it, that we're going to read it together. It says, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants the treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. So what does God require according to these verses? God requires our obedience. God requires our obedience. I remember when I was still learning this principle, I was walking from in Harangua, that's where I was born. I was walking from zone 4 and zone 1. If you've been to Harangua, you know that Harangua is divided into zones. And so between zone 1 and zone 4, there's a hill, like a kopi. And on this hill, there's like a lot of trees and bushes. People do walk there, and it's fairly safe. And so one day I was walking from zone 4 side and walking over, crossing into zone 1, where I used to stay. And as I was walking, I met this guy and this girl. They looked like they were talking. And then so I thought, interesting. Hey, why are they talking in the bushes here? You know, this is, we walk here, people. Come now. You know, this is a copy, a hill, bushes, trees. Anyway, it's none of my business. So I'm walking past. And as I'm walking past, I hear this girl murmuring almost, no, I don't want to go with you. Oh, okay. Boyfriend and girlfriend, I'm thinking, none of my business, just continue walking. And I continue walking. And as a couple of steps, I felt the Lord in my heart saying to me, Letsulo, you need to go back and grab that girl by the hand and walk her across the hill to go to zone 4. We are on the zone 1 side. Please grab her and walk her across the hill. And I thought, Lord, that's me now wrestling with the Lord in my heart. Lord, is that you? And I felt the Lord saying, yes, I would like for you to walk this girl over the hill. And so I looked around and I looked at this guy. I mean, this guy is huge, Baba. I'm like, If I have to go and grab this girl by the hand, this guy is gonna just give me one clap. I'll be on the floor. That's it. And I felt the Lord saying, this guy is not gonna do anything to you. Just walk, grab the girl by the arm, and walk her over the hill. And I said, Lord, what if this girl says no? And I felt the Lord saying to me, now this is a conversation, I'm reasoning with the Lord. And I felt the Lord saying, no, this girl is not going to say anything. Now I want to learn this principle, obedience. So I want to learn this principle. So I walked, and then I stopped. Then I remember I need to maybe pray in tongues. I got there, I grabbed the girl by the hand. This guy looked at me. I didn't look at anybody. I just started walking. I was so scared. This guy's gonna come on me. And so I walked this girl over the hill, got into a safe place where there were other houses around. And then I said to her, "That's it, that's where it ends, bye-bye." And she says, "Thank you very much, bye-bye." Now I look back over the hill. What if this guy is waiting for me there? Ish, Lord, what do we do? And so I started walking, and I was so grateful. When I arrived on the other side, he wasn't there. Phew. But I learned the principle. I learned the principle of obeying God. And that was maybe a major thing or a small thing, I don't know. But from then, I started to learn how to obey God. Can I challenge you this morning? Don't expect God to speak to you on major big things, you know, our country next year, this time is going to do what? No. Listen to God on the small things first. Learn the principle of obedience in the small things first. Then God will trust you on the big things. That's how it works. It's a process with God. It's not just a snap always. God also wants us to walk in integrity. Integrity with who? Integrity with Him, obviously, but integrity with one another. Honesty with who? With Him, but honesty with each other. I cannot say I'm honest with God, but I'm not paying my bills. Where is it? Oh, I'm not honest. I'm not honest with others around me. It's very important. We have to be people of integrity. Integrity with God when no one else is watching, obviously, but integrity with one another. What do we say about others? How do we connect with others? Are we honest with them? Do we engage with them? Very important. He wants us to be just and faithful to Him. Very important. God wants us to be just and faithful to Him. He's a jealous God, isn't it? He wants us for Himself. He doesn't want to share us with anybody. Someone once said to me that they like Facebook so much, you know, every 5-10 minutes, they open their phone, they want to see who's saying what, what's going on. And they felt the Lord challenging them and saying to them, how about every time you open your Facebook and you want to check the Facebook status, how about every time you do that, you would read a verse? And I thought, yes, man, that is such a challenge, you know? And I thought, I'm not on Facebook, thank you. And so it was so cool to hear that someone was saying that to me, that if they have to read something, that they would rather maybe read God's word. Why? Why is that? Because God is jealous of us. He wants us for Himself. God doesn't want to share us with anybody. If we can spend more time with Him, do you think our lives would be different? Of course it would be. Do you think the way we do things would be different? Of course it would be. Because God is spending time with us. We understand who He is, how He wants us to do things. And so it's important that we are just and faithful to Him. But also, as I said earlier, living in the fear of the Lord is expressed and tested in how we live with others. Are we just and are we faithful with others? Do we live a life that is worthy of being just and faithful? And so there's a challenge from the Lord that be just and faithful with me, but be just and faithful with all those around you. It always goes parallel, living in the fear of the Lord. So we've spoken a little bit about our attitude. We've spoken also around our actions, how we do what we do, and our reverence to the Lord, but also how we interact with others. And I would like for us to take the next step and look into Proverbs verse 9 to verse 10 to 22. Proverbs verse 10 to 22. It's a bit longer than the other ones, so please, let's keep up. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked, and their ways are wrong. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to the grave. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the paths of life. Follow the steps of good men instead, and stay on the paths of the righteous. For only the godly will live in the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be removed from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted. Bit of a long one, but there's rewards if you really look through it, if you go through it. And I want to just share a few of them with you. The first one is those that apply the fear of the Lord, those that are living in His word, those that treasure, those that seek Him, they will be filled with joy. They will be filled with joy. I don't know, people who really know the Lord and they walk with the Lord, they have joy in their heart. Don't we even sing it? There's joy, 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 joy in my heart. Hey, joy in my heart. Yeah, there's joy in our hearts. Wise choices will keep them. Do the wise choices come from them? No, the wise choices come from them knowing what God is saying. Wise choices come as they obey the Lord. God gives them bigger things. And so wise choices come from the Lord because they know what God wants. They will avoid dark paths of evil. I once heard that if you train someone in truth, if you give them the truth and they know the truth, it will be difficult for them to turn the truth into a lie because of they haven't tasted what the lie is like. And so it's important that they are in the truth, that they will walk or avoid dark paths of evil. God will defend them against the enemy. Very interesting. All of these rewards, they come from the Lord. It's not the things that we do. It's what God gives us. It's what God provides us with. God will defend them against the enemy. God will also encourage them to follow the steps of good men. Interesting enough, hey, that in the fear of the Lord, it's not just you and God, but it always includes people. Who are these good men the Bible is talking about? The good men are the ones that have had the faith, they've lived with the Lord and with others. They've walked with God. They know what God has for them. They know what God wants them to do. And so they've been tested. They've been tried and tested. And these men, interesting enough that the Bible mentions them, says we are encouraged to follow the steps of good men. So there are good men whose steps are worthy to be followed. Their obedience will keep them in the land. The obedience keeps those who believe, those who apply the fear of the Lord, the obedience towards the Lord, towards what God is saying to them. That obedience will keep them in the land. And can I promise you, God doesn't just keep you in the land so that you can suffer. It's never been God's purpose that anyone suffers. When He keeps you in the land, it's for a good reason. When He keeps you in the land, it's so that you can prosper. And those around you can prosper. And so it's important that their obedience will keep them in the land. And so, let's reflect again. When we speak about our attitude towards God, speak about listening to what He says, speak about treasuring His commands, searching Him, searching for Him, and seeking Him. And we do that by finding it in His word and applying it. When it comes to our actions of reverence, that we will be obedient towards the Lord, that He wants us to walk in integrity and honesty towards Him. He wants us to be just and faithful to Him. So, I would like to ask you a question. In regards to your attitude towards His word, and applying it, how are you doing? Are you listening to Him? Are you treasuring His commands? Are you searching and seeking the Lord in all that you do? So much shouts for our attention, isn't it? Hey, come here. So much shouts for our attention. But with God, God is a still small voice. He reaches out to us gently. Are you living in the fear of the Lord? Even towards others, is it expressed? Is it reflective of who God is? Are you the light, the salt? These are not questions to condemn, but to search our hearts. In regards to obedience, do you struggle to obey Him and to live according to His word and commands? I want to say this. In our own strength, impossible. I include myself on that list. There's just no ways I can do it. There's just no way I can do everything and be perfect. I don't stand here because I'm perfect. I stand here because I'm also on a journey. And we are all on a journey. And I'm on a journey to learn these things, to apply them regularly, consistently in my life. And so I realize I cannot fulfill all these things. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. I need the Holy Spirit to empower me. Do you think you need Him? Yes, we all do. God, I cannot do it. I'm undone. I'm a man with unclean lips, unclean attitude, unclean action. I'm not worthy, Lord. But with Holy Spirit, I'm able to do it. And so I would like to take this opportunity to invite you to please stand. I don't know where you're at with regards to what we have shared this morning. I don't know where your heart is at, but I want us to have an attitude of just waiting, even if it's just for a minute. I want us just to wait for a minute and let the Lord search your heart and hear what He says. Can we do that? Is it fine? Amen. Interesting that in Isaiah, God reveals Himself to Isaiah and He says He's high and lifted up. And last week, interesting enough, during our Christmas celebration, we were saying that God, Emmanuel, God with us. He's here to help us. He's here to walk with us. And I would like to take this opportunity. I would like to come down if it's fine. I would like to take this opportunity. A couple of weeks back, Omheri Bradala, he led us in a song in the pastoral meeting. And I felt that this morning it will be so significant as we speak about living in the fear of God, that we would sing that song together to say, Holy Spirit, we need You. We cannot do all the things that God wants us to do without You. We cannot fulfill all the requirements. And so I want us just to engage in the song together and open your heart and say, God, I need You. Come, Lord Jesus. Lead me. Walk with me. Omheri, thank you so much.
Let's just all close our eyes, please. And Holy Spirit, we thank You that we can stand in the presence of Father God. We thank you that Jesus made it possible for all of us to be children of Almighty God. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who works it out in our lives. You give us love where we can't work it up ourselves. And we as a church have always come to places often where we said, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Amen. In this place. And that's our prayer this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this. Now the ladies alone, please, the ladies. Holy. This time the men only, please. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this. All together one last time. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come in this place, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome in. You are welcome in this place.
Lord Jesus, there's none like you. But I pray that as we go out this morning, that we would go with you, Lord. That in this whole week, in all of our lives, Lord, that we would go with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.